I never told many people this, but I've always had the dream of flying to London to see the Royal Ballet.
Wait, Tinkerbell, get a load of this.
Go back to work. You, party girl down the back.
Hey, we don't choose the dreams, but with Lotto's massive $30 million super draw, we could make plenty come true. That's right, $30 million. So get your entry in before Saturday, December 29th, and you could...
We don't know if that young man here in Perth had a premonition, but before tonight's draw, here is a reminder of what it is like to win $30 million. Good luck. Good night.
You got it.
Oh, the winner is here.
Yeah, there.
Huh? You got to be kidding me, right?
No. Yeah. You got it.
Oh, the winner is
here. Congratulations. Commissioner winner. It's a professional winner. Yeah. I checked with lottery commission.
Yes. You check the ticket. You are the winner.
$30 million. For $30 million.
You're joking.
No.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say.
I don't know about you, but if I won $30 million, I think I'd be jumping around a bit more than that. Have you ever asked that question of yourself? What would it be like to win the lotto? What would it be like to win $30 million? I always hear people often say this, if I won $30 million, I'd pay off the mortgage, I'd buy a new car for all my friends, and I'd give some to the poor, and all this list rattles out. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but have you ever wondered why we think like that? I guess it's fun to entertain the thought that we could win this huge amount of money, and to think what we could do with that. And I guess it's entertaining to talk about, and perhaps even funny, but have you ever wondered that maybe we're actually not satisfied with what we have? That the dream to win this huge amount, this unbelievable amount of money, is so exciting to us because we're perhaps not satisfied with what we have. Contentment is possibly one of the greatest challenges for a Christian living in today's world, I think. The world encourages us again and again to want more. Even our Australian economy is driven to want more. More and more and more. But God actually challenges us from that reading from Proverbs 30 to say something that is completely against what the world says. God wants us to say, give me my daily bread. Give me my daily bread. Now, in today's terms, that actually translates to this. God, don't let me win lottery. God, I actually have everything I need from what you've provided, and I'm happy with it. Don't give me anything more. Don't give me anything less. Just thanks for what I have. That is so against what the world tells us what we should say, that what we should want out of life. Now listen to verse 8 again. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Could we pray not to have more? Could you pray that? Have you ever prayed that? Could you pray to not have more, to be thankful for what we have and desire nothing more than our daily bread? That's a gutsy prayer, isn't it? John Wesley was a well-known preacher in the 1700s. You may have heard of him. He also had a brother. He started his ministry on an income of £30 a year. And he worked out, I don't know what that translates to today, no idea. But he worked out that he could live on about £28 a year. So he gave £2 a year. Now that's not quite 10%, is it? But that's what he did. £2 a year, that's what he gave. He lived on 28. The next year, don't ask me how, his pay doubled. He got paid, instead of £30, £60 a year. Guess what he lived on? £28 a year. Guess how much he gave? £32. The next year, allegedly, I don't know how this happened, his salary went up by the same amount, triple. Wardens, take note of this. His salary went up by double each year. Guess how much he lived on? £90 he was earning. Guess how much he lived on? £28. Guess how much he gave? £62. He just worked out, what do I need to live? What do I need for all my needs to be met? And he lived on it. And he didn't need the rest. He actually earned around £30,000 in his lifetime, it's believed. And he just lived on what he needed, £28 a year, perhaps indexed every year for inflation or whatever it was at that time. But he just worked out what he needed to live. And that was it. He lived on his daily bread. He died with a few coins in his pockets and a few in his dresser drawers at home. That was it. Contentment with what we have is a very difficult thing because of the world we live in. But it starts with this word, trust. It starts by trusting in God. If we can trust God, if we can believe that God is in fact trustworthy, then we can be content because we know he will look after us. Some of you know my dog, our dog. I get on well with our dog. I generally get on well with him, unless I'm holding a pair of scissors. He had a traumatic experience known as the bloodbath of 2002 when I tried to clip his hair because dog clippers charge so much, like a wounded Pomeranian, one might say. Now, any time I have a pair of scissors in my hand and go anywhere near him, you'll see this cute little puppy turn into a vicious animal. He does not trust me at all when I come near him with scissors, and can I say for very good reason. The rest of the time, he loves me. In fact, a little bit too much. Try to keep him away whenever I get out there. Mainly because I feed him, I suspect. But basically, he trusts me, except when I'm holding those scissors. Now, I wonder if we do that to God. I wonder if we say, God, I trust you with everything. Except when perhaps it comes to my money. Except perhaps when it comes to my job or choosing a new occupation. I trust you with everything, except perhaps not these relationships. I know you may not like them, God, but I think I'll look after them myself. I trust you except when you're carrying those pair of scissors that I don't particularly like too much. Today, we come together as a church to thank God. We're saying to him, we trust you completely. We can say to God, thank you for our kids' ministry because we trust God with our kids' ministry. We can say to God, thank you for our mission work because we can trust God that he is directing our mission work, every bit of it. Not just a little bit, but all of it. We can trust him completely. We can trust God by praying for those who are sick. We can trust him with our health because we can put our hands, our health in his hands. We can trust him with those things. And when we trust God, when we learn to trust him completely, we can learn to be content with what he's given us. Because we actually trust that he's given us everything we need. You see how trust can lead to contentment. After Agur prays his prayer, you'll notice at the end he prays for neither poverty nor riches. He then, in that last verse, verse 9 that we read, actually tells us why. Why do you not want poverty or riches, Agur? Well, here's the answer. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God. In other words, he's saying, God, I don't want poverty or wealth to get in the way of our relationship. I love everything you've given me, just the way it is. And I have a great relationship with you. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. Don't make me be poor so I have to steal and dishonour you. Don't make me be rich so I forget who you are. I love you. I'm in a great relationship. Don't let anything spoil that, not even money. It's easy to say to God, I think, don't give me poverty. Please don't make me poor. But can we trust God enough to say, please don't make me rich. Please don't give me riches. Just give me what I need. I don't want to be tempted with the riches of this world. Can we say, please God, don't let me win the lottery because I don't want that sort of wealth to destroy my relationship with you. Can we pray like Agur did? Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. If we can, then and only then, can we be truly thankful. Only if we actually have our trust in God completely, if we can be content with what he's given us, can we then respond with true thankfulness. Let me explain it with an example. Let's say you're at a restaurant and you order a nice, beautiful steak meal. And it was so good, you go and see the chef at the end of it and you say to the chef, look, thanks for that meal. It wasn't quite good enough, but thank you so much for that steak. It was a little bit small, but thank you so much for that steak that was just so tantalising. Although it could have been a little bit better. Thank you so much. Would you imagine that that would express to this chef a thankful heart? Thank you, except it's not quite enough. We cannot be truly thankful unless we are truly content. We cannot be truly content unless our trust is firmly placed in God. I want to suggest to you a way today, just to finish with, a way we can be thankful as Christians, as a way we can be content. And I call it the No More Challenge. The No More Challenge. Many people today have a quest for having more, a better job with more pay, a bigger house, a nicer car, another TV. And there's nothing wrong with these things. I have many of them. And they're great. Unless all we're doing in life is accumulating more and more and more and more of these things with a never-ending end. It just keeps going. I need something that's better than this. I've got it. Now I need something better than that. I want to climb a mountain, get to the top, and there's another mountain. I've got to climb that one too. I've got to have the best and more and more, and there is no end in sight. But what if we sat down, like Wesley did, and said, what do I need? And when we got there, we stopped. We sat on the top of that mountain and said, this is fantastic. There are so many other mountains around that are taller than this one, but this one is just so nice. What if we actually decided to have a lifestyle that was content? That said no more. Now, it doesn't mean we can't buy nice things. Doesn't mean we can't spend our money. It just means that we say no to always wanting more. To actually put an end somewhere. Rather than think, what can I afford to get? We think, what do I need? Now, here's a chronic problem that we're all aware of at the moment. You know, when most people go to the bank for a bank loan for a home, they will go to the bank manager. This is a report that came out in the Sydney Morning Herald a few weeks ago in the middle of the mortgage crisis. They will go to the bank and they will ask the bank, how much can I borrow? Here's my salary, here's my income, here's my debts. How much can I borrow from you? And whatever the amount the bank says they can borrow, they will borrow that amount. And they'll go out and they'll find the biggest house they can for that money. That's what most people do. They don't go out and find this little house. Oh, that's nice. That's what we need. Go to the bank. Can we borrow enough money for this house? No, they say to the bank, how much can we borrow? How big a house can we have? How much more can we get from you? How high a limit can I set for my lifestyle? That's what the world says again and again. There's no end. Thank you for my daily bread. Do we search for those things? Do we search to win the lotto, to climb the highest mountain we can, to get the most we can? Or do we stop? You know, money is not bad. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to spend money. And we certainly cannot judge the way others spend their money or keep their money. Let's not do that. But we must not find contentment in the wealth of this world. We must be able as Christians to find contentment in God. Now, just this morning I heard a mathematician had put out a formula that you plug in all the details into to maximise your joy in a shopping spree. And it's got to do with how busy the shops are, what time of year, how close the shops are together. And you plug in all the details and apparently Saturday 9 to 11 is the best time to get your high from a shopping spree. Apparently, must be less people at shops or something. If we find our contentment in those things, we will never be content. As Christians, we have to find our contentment in God, which means we have to find our trust in God. We must be able to thank God for what he has given us. And what has he given us? He has given us the death of his son on the cross. He has given us the full payment for a debt that we could not pay. He has given us freedom from death and sin. He has given us eternal life. We must be able to break free from the endless pursuit of the world that says we need more. And be able to say, thank you, God, for what you've given me. It's more than I need. It's all I need. It's enough. Okay, here comes the right hook, I think they call it, for this passage. The jab from the side that you don't see coming in this passage. We've talked a lot about wealth today. Not intentional, I just wanted to talk about being thankful for what we have. But that passage really hones in, I guess, what we think about money and satisfaction with our finances and everything we have. But contentment goes much deeper than our wealth, than our worldly possessions. Contentment is not just about money. Are you content with your job? Are you content with your family? Are you content with being single? Are you content with being married? Are you content with having children? Are you content if you don't have children? Are you content with your health? Are you content in your poor health? Are you content with God where you are? Contentment is about everything in our life, from work to marriage, from health to children, from relationships to possessions. Perhaps it's really easy to ask, are you content with how much money you have? Perhaps it's more difficult to ask, are you content with being sick? Are you content with not having children? Are you content with being single? Are you content in your job? Are we trusting God in a way that allows us to be content wherever we are in our life, even when it's difficult? Or do we sometimes find ourselves saying to God, like we do to the chef at the restaurant, thanks God, but it's not quite enough? I want to encourage you, especially if you struggle with difficult situations in your life, if any of those ring bells for you, that perhaps it's really hard to struggle with being content with what God may not have given you, or with what God might have given you or afflicted you with, or something that you're just going on and on in life with that you just really makes you discontent, and perhaps, as Will suggested, even angry towards God. I want to encourage you to ask God to give you your daily bread and to trust him. Of course, I'm not going to leave you hanging there. I'd love to talk to anyone that wants to talk more about those issues in their life, because I want us to be a family that is content and thankful, truly thankful for God and what he's given us. So I want to encourage you to pray Agur's prayer with me right now. There it is on the screen. Let's take a moment just to reflect. Close your eyes and just bring to God those things that you may not be content with. Bring them to him, lay them at his feet. And then we're going to pray this prayer together in a moment so we can be truly thankful. Pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Amen.